Our study tonight is out of Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Vigorously heeding God's calling. Since the Abrahamic covenant provided that God would bless the Gentiles through Abraham's seed, in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, Israel was responsible to proclaim God's truth to the Gentiles. The book of Jonah was addressed to Israel to remind her of her duty to proclaim God's truths to the nations. And Jonah 3, 1 to 4 records how Jonah vigorously heeded God's calling to evangelize Nineveh in that wider responsibility of Israel to reach the nations. So we view the passage for our insight and application. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Jonah 3, 1 to 4. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I couldn't get beyond verse 4. Jonah had been so reluctant to obey God's word in going to Nineveh to evangelize it that he had actually fled from the presence of the Lord in the opposite direction and got on a boat going to Tarshish, which is in southern Spain. It's just north of Gibraltar. Well, consequently, God had intercepted Jonah, causing a large fish to swallow him until he repented, calling on the Lord for deliverance. And the Lord had thus caused the fish to vomit Jonah up onto dry land. It's very gracious of the Lord. He didn't vomit him up in the depths of the sea where he still had to swim a lot. He put him actually right onto dry land. So that fish made quite a move to get up that far. With a repentant Jonah once again on dry land, the word of the Lord came unto him the second time, renewing the divine call that he rise and go to Nineveh. And this time, Jonah strongly obeyed. The man had some motivation this time. Well, significantly, the second divine calling and Jonah's response to it examples the vigor that any servant of the Lord must have in fulfilling the ministry that God assigns him. And we like to view those truths as follows. First, one must realize that God's calling deals with what God personally holds him accountable to do. Jonah was introduced as the son of Amittai in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. That's at the first call. But in God's second call to Jonah, that reference to his father is omitted. It is that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And the focus is on Jonah and Jonah's personal accountability to God. This really struck me between the eyes because when the Lord called me, my father was present. And my father was tempted to give me a correction on something. And the Lord shut his mouth and he couldn't say anything. And the Lord communicated to me through his word what he wanted me to have. And it became crystal clear to me that God was saying, Don, I'm talking to you. This isn't your dad. Your dad's out of the picture. I'm talking to you. You guy, right there. You need to hear me. Accordingly, we believers must realize that serving the Lord requires that we heed him as our personal responsibility, as those who are individually accountable to our Creator God himself. The day is going to come when mom and dad will be off the scene, okay? Even though mom and dad have been used of the Lord to disciple us, to lead us, to mentor us, but someday they'll be off the scene. God wants to begin to work through us. And one thing I found out in my call to the ministry, this happened in 1969. I was 20, 21 years of age. The Lord indicated to me that he was actually my real father. He'd been my father all along. He'd put the DNA together in my mother's womb and whatnot. Yes, he'd used my dad. Yes, he'd used my mom. But my real father's God. And God was talking to me. So that's something we need to keep in mind. Our calling deals with what God personally holds us accountable to do. We are each going to be accountable to him, not our parents, to God. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, second, one must present the message that God wants him to give. In verse 2, comparing it to chapter 1, verse 2, back in Jonah 1:2, God had simply directed Jonah to arise, to go to the great city of Nineveh, the Assyrian city, and cry against it because its wickedness demanded that God warn Nineveh of his punishment. However, in Jonah 3:2, God's command was that Jonah proclaim the message that God wanted him to deliver. The pronoun I in the Hebrew text is the Hebrew word anoki, and it means I myself. And it's written separate from and in front of the participle preaching. In other words, you're going to be doing the preaching that I tell you to do. Very strong here. To emphasize the fact that Jonah was to give God's preaching, it was not going to be his own message. Now, there's a reason for this. Since God had sent Jonah through the experience of being able to, being in the fish's belly, he may have been willing to go to Nineveh and preach, but he might still have been tempted to modify his words to avoid getting the people in Nineveh to repent. You can see the temptation. So God says, now we're going to close the door for that one. There's no chance that you're not going to preach exactly what I want you to do. You will preach the words that I tell you to do. It's kind of like the commander in chief saying, you're going to do this, and this is how you're going to do it. So, since God had sent Jonah through the experience of being in the fish's belly, he wanted no modification of his words. God wanted to counter that temptation effectively, so he's going to preach the message that God wanted him to give. This is very good. We may be in the Sunday school class. We might be in a Bible study that we're teaching. We might be ministering from the pulpit. Who knows? But it's not the message that we want to get, that we're supposed to be giving. It's not the message that some other person or some other human party per se wants us to give. The message that we give should be the message that the Lord has made clear to us that he wants. That's the message that he wants. See, God wants to communicate to the students in the class. He wants to communicate to the people in the church or the people in that Bible study class. That's his word that's going out. And he has an interest in those hearts. So we have to keep in mind it's not our message, it's the message of God. Sometimes it's easy to do. Sometimes it's hard to do because the message may be something that is difficult because of the circumstances that are involved, but God wants his message out there. Third, we must realize that our ministry involves eternal consequences for people. Explaining God's intense requirements of his servants and their ministries for him. Now, the King James Version adjective exceeding should actually be translated before God. It's I don't know why the King James Version did this. It has the lamed, which is the mean to or before, but it has the word Elohim, and it has nothing to do with exceeding. But anyway, it should be before God, meaning that Nineveh was not just a great city from the human viewpoint, but it contained many people whose destiny was on the line, and it was important before God. It was in God's eyes. It was important. One of the things that we learn from Scripture is that God has an enormous drive within him to reach people for him, and through his Son and for his Son, of course, in our day today. This explains God's persistence and intensity in driving Jonah to end up in the belly of a fish to reconsider heading to Nineveh, the eternal destiny of hundreds of thousands of people in Nineveh. Now, I know in Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, it talks about 70,000 people. That would be 60,000 people who don't know the right hand or the left. That's a reference to children, because children don't know the right hand to the left. But if they have that many children, there are approximately 600,000 people. So there are 600,000 people here that God's concerned about. So he's not going to let his Jonah just go off into the water and drown or something. He said, no. We got 600,000 people. This guy's got to reach them. So he brought the fish along. That made him think real hard. Because God was motivated to get out there, and he strongly wanted Jonah to evangelize it. The love of Christ, Paul says, constrains me, drives me, impels me to reach out for the Lord Jesus, for the lost. And then fourth, Jonah promptly fulfilled his mission. Verse 4, the circumference of the city of Nineveh, including some of the surrounding land, which would have been pasture land, was about 60 miles. So it would take 3 days to travel through the realm of the city, starting the pasture lands and then getting into the city and going through it. All the people that are there, and you'd have to find a place to sleep. You have to stop and whatnot to get meals here and there. So you got 3 days' journey. Now, the text at Jonah 3:4 states that Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and this does not mean that he traveled for an entire day before preaching. A part of a day, if you start there in a day, that's counted as one whole day. But it means that he began preaching the first day that he entered Nineveh. In other words, right as he got into the city itself, he started preaching. He wasn't going to wait until he got to the middle of the city or the center of the city or the other side of the city. He started preaching right away. And he just started preaching as he went through it for 3 days' journey. And he didn't get apparently beyond a day's journey in the entire city. He later repented. I don't think he had to make it to the center of the city, because word spread like wildfire through the city. But Jonah promptly fulfilled his mission to evangelize Nineveh. This is great, what this guy did. He's doing a job he doesn't want to do, but the Lord has driven him to do it, so he's going to get it done. And he did. And he preached. And the message that the Lord had him preach, of course, is yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God was going to give them 40 days to repent. But he preached the message that God wanted him to preach. So when Jonah returned to his calling, he vigorously served God as his personal responsibility. He gave the message God wanted him to deliver. He ministered on behalf of God's intense concern, and he ministered promptly. So in application, may we vigorously fulfill our callings from God by sensing our personal accountability to obey him, by giving the message that God wants us to give, keeping his intense concerns in mind, and fulfill our duties promptly. Before I came out here, set things up tonight, I recognized there was a message on my cell phone, on the church phone, on the answering machine. So I turned it on. It was a lady. She was calling. I could tell by her voice that she was very excited. She said, "I saw your sign, and I wanted to call and let you know that I'd like to register my children." She had 2 children, barely. And she repeated her telephone a couple times, so I make sure I get it. So I will call her in the morning. But here's a mother. Maybe she's had her children at our VBS before, I don't know. But this lady was very motivated. And I'm sure her children are very motivated as well. And I thought it was just the motivation that I found in this lady's voice and the drive that God had here to disciple the people of Nineveh, it impelled me to, eat my own cooking, so to speak, as a chef of the Word of God, and that is practice this. And so I'll eagerly talk to the lady tomorrow, and I have the registration forms there. Sarah left me some through I think she left them, but they're there on the table in the copy room. So I've got them there, various colored registration slips, and so we'll fill those out, and so this lady can have her children registered. But God tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, always abounding in the work of the Lord. My fifth grade Sunday school teacher in her Grace Baptist Church, she loved to say, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that lady did. She was a widow lady, but when she walked and everything, she was almost bouncing. She was so motivated, and she loved to teach fifth grade boys. That's what we had, fifth grade boys. And this lady was a dear, dear, sweet lady, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. And her favorite song was The Mansion Over the Hilltop we did tonight. She used to pick that every time. So, we should abound in the work of the Lord, because the work of the Lord is very important to him. And it's very important in regards to the lives of people that are involved.